God bless America. Amen. About 11 years ago, I was traveling around the country. Some of our deputation as missionaries to Ghana, West Africa. We were in Espanola, New Mexico, at Valley Bible Baptist Church. And when we were there, we met a couple of people that had a familiar face. And come to find out, this couple had been saved through the bus ministry here at Bible Baptist Church in the 80s. Some of you older members might remember them, Pete and Donna Zamora. They used to live in the apartments just across from where the old church was on Elm Street. And they told me how that the buses would come every week and pick up their kids and take them to Sunday school. Every Saturday, the bus workers would come by and invite the, or make sure the kids were coming and invite the parents to come. And so finally, one Sunday, Pete and Donna decided they were going to come to church. And Brother Jerry Clark was a pastor at that time, and they came to church, and during the message, God had spoke to their hearts, and there was an invitation given at the end of the service, and Pete, he was on the right side of his wife. He went down to the aisle, and he walked forward, and somebody showed him through the Bible how to be saved, and that morning, he put his faith in Jesus Christ for Savior. Little did he know that his wife, Donna, she went down the left side and she went down the aisle and she went forward and she also received Jesus Christ as her Savior that day. And so that day, both Pete and Donna had trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And their lives were changed. And now they're serving the Lord in the ministry. At that time, 11 years ago, they were in the Spanish ministry. He was the pastor of the Spanish ministry there at the church in Espanola. But the reason I share that story is because I want to share the 9/11 story that they shared with me that day. I thought it'd be a little more personal for us because coming from a couple that used to live here in Dumas and was saved in this church, and they told me on September 11th, 2001, they were in New York City on vacation. And they said that morning they were scheduled to be touring the World Trade Center at 9 o'clock a.m. But by God's providence, they overslept their alarm. By the time they woke up, they turned on the television in their hotel room and they saw the tragedy that was taking place at the World Trade Center. You know, when they told me that story, I was just in awe, thinking, how great is our God? I mean, how He was watching over, providentially protecting His children. You know, we may never know this side of heaven exactly where 9/11 fits into God's story. But one thing's for sure, God is a master at turning tragedy into triumph. He really is. I mean, you look throughout the Bible, you can see story after story after story. I think of Joseph. You know how Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. His brothers were jealous of him and they tried to kill him, but the eldest brother prevented the other brothers from killing Joseph. So instead, they sold him to this caravan coming through and they took Joseph down to Egypt and sold him as a slave. You know, we think, what a tragedy for a son to be taken from his family, and they lied to the father about what happened to Joseph. But you know, God had a divine plan. When Joseph went down there, he served faithfully his God, He was falsely accused by his master's wife. So he was thrown in the prison. And, you know, you think, how could it get worse for this man? I mean, it just one thing after another. And now he's in prison. But God was with him. The Bible tells us in Genesis 37 and the story of Joseph that God was with Joseph and prospered him. So that Joseph became over all the prison. The jail keeper just gave it over to Joseph and let him run it. And then as time went on, there were a couple of servants of Pharaoh that were thrown into jail. And they had these horrible dreams and they didn't know what they meant. And so Joseph said, well, tell me your dreams. And so Joseph heard their dreams and interpreted their dreams. Of course, for one of them, he was going to die. His dream meant he was going to die. For the other one, Pharaoh was going to restore him back into his position. And so Joseph told that servant of Pharaoh, said, now, when you get out, I want you to remember me before Pharaoh. The Bible says he forgot. He forgot Joseph. Wow. Joseph, boy, he's had a hard run at it. I mean, his brothers tried to kill him. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. His master falsely accused him. He's thrown into prison. And now he helps out two guys, and or at least one guy. And that guy forgot him. But most of you are familiar with that story that not long after that, that Pharaoh had a dream. And he was troubled about it. He couldn't sleep. And so his servant remembered Joseph. Said, hey, I know a man that can tell you the meaning of your dream. So they called Joseph out of the prison. He comes before Pharaoh. And lo and behold, he gives him the explanation. And it turns out that God had purposely sent Joseph to Egypt in order to save the world from famine. 7 years of famine. And more importantly, to save Abraham's family, the children of Israel. He brought the whole group down into Egypt. And 400 years they were in Egypt, protected by God. Until God brought them out of Egypt into the promised land. What I'm trying to tell you is that God is a master at turning tragedy into triumph. Though we may not understand it at the time, what's going on, let's not forget, God is sovereign. If you look at the word sovereign, there's a word right in the middle of that word, reign. God reigns. Over and over in the Scripture, the Bible says God reigns. He reigns not only in heaven, He reigns in this earth. He is sovereign. We can rest in that no matter what happens in our country. We can rest assured God is sovereign. That doesn't mean that everything that happens that God initiates it. God does not initiate evil acts. God in His sovereignty has allowed man free will. Men make choices. But you know what? Let me explain this. God, He guides and He governs the free actions of men to His glory. You know, God can take something that men will make an evil choice that will bring a tragedy, but God will guide and govern that to the point that He is glorified. That He gets the glory. That He brings triumph out of that tragedy. You know, I was reading this story, another story I'll share with you, the 9/11 story before we get into our text, but I read a story about a man named Suho John. And he worked on the 81st floor of the World Trade Center. And he had just got into his office and began working when the first plane hit his tower. And flames began to come into his office. And so he and his co-workers, they began to evacuate. And they began to get to the stairwell and start moving down out of the building. It took them an hour to go 81 stories down the stairwell. Well, by the time that he got down to the ground level, they had to go through the mall that connected the north and south towers and go out tower number 2 and exit there. But while they were in transit between there, tower 2 began to collapse. By the way, while they were coming down, there was an explosion. He didn't even know that while they were coming down, that big explosion was the second plane to hit the other tower, tower number 2. And he thought he was going to die because he said the tower was just swaying and with the fire and everything. But when he's thinking about his wife, because his wife, who was pregnant, worked in the tower number 2. But when he got down there, that building began to collapse. Tower 2 began to collapse. And he and a group of people huddled up against the wall. And he said he don't know what led him to do it, but he just began to cry out, Jesus. He began to call out the name Jesus. And as he did that, the people around him began to call on the name of the Lord. And you know, after that tower had collapsed, somehow God saved Su Ho John in the midst of all that. But I want you to know the other side of the story. His wife had just, the second tower had just been hit moments before she entered Tower 2. And she was on the phone trying to call her husband. The call would not go through. She kept hitting redial. And they never let her into the building, Tower 2, because it had been hit. But she began to pray to her Savior, Jesus Christ, please save my husband. Please let him get out of that tower. And she prayed and she said, Lord, if you will save my husband, we will serve you whatever you want us to do. She made that promise. Little did she know that God was going to answer that prayer, because after that second tower collapsed and everything settled, Su Ho John came out of that rubbish. All the others that were with him had died. He'd come out of that rubbish. And as he was coming out, guess what? His cell phone began to ring. You know, he began to think. He looked at it and it was his wife's phone number. In his mind, he was thinking the worst. Somebody must be calling for my wife's phone. She has to be dead. The tower collapsed. She was probably up there in her office. But he answered the phone and it was his wife. Talk about a miracle story that has been posted, CBN News, different places. You can look at this story. But God turned a tragedy in triumph, because Su Ho John and his wife Mary, since that time, their life had been dramatically changed by the Lord. And they have been in full-time ministry, taking the gospel to more than 400 cities around the world, resulting in over 30,000 disciples of Jesus Christ. See, God can take a tragedy and make a triumph out of it. I want you to, if you have your Bible, let's go to chapter 12 in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'd like to read a passage here. And the title I would like to give this is When God Shakes the World. You know, no doubt 15 years ago, God shook our world. Here in verse 25, he says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not that refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he had promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom not that which cannot be removed. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I want to pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for our first responders that are here today. Lord, again, we're so grateful for their service to our community. We're so grateful for their sacrifice, for their dedication to serve. And Father, we do pray that you would continue to grant them grace and strength to help them to carry out their duties. Continue to grant your protection over them. Continue to use them that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Father, we pray that you'd help your people here, that we'd recognize our responsibility as citizens as well, that we would be honorable citizens, that we would be obedient to authorities over us, that we would show our respect. And Lord, that we'd remember to pray for those that are in authority, that you would use them for our good. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning I want to preach on when God shakes the world. You know, in 9/11, that was just one of many shakings we've seen in this country. You know, since that 9/11, 15 years ago, I think of all the unprecedented hurricanes that have hit our shores. The tornadoes, the floods. You know, there's been a lot of natural catastrophes, fires. I mean, just recently in Louisiana, the flooding there has been so catastrophic. That is a shaking. That is a shaking. I mean, things of that nature shake us. I think of our political situation today. We're being shaked. I mean, it's not pretty. We're a divided nation politically. I think of economically. We're being shaken as a country. You know, all the hatred that's going on, all the violence, and I think about all the violence toward our first responders. I mean, it's just heartbreaking that we are in the state that we're in today. These events like 9/11 and these events like these catastrophes that we see around that continue to come, listen, it is God shaking us so that we would listen. God wants us to listen to Him. You know, here He talks about a shaking that took place in the time of Moses, when Moses took the children of Israel up to the mount. And God did some shaking there. And He talks about a final future shaking that's yet to come. But you know, while all this is going on around us, many Christians, we've been comfortably sleeping. We've been comfortable. While our nation is changing, while our freedoms are being eroded, seems like the religion in America today is political correctness. All things that once appalled us have now become commonplace. They no longer even seem to bother those who name the name of Christ. 240 years ago, there were 55 men that committed their lives and their fortunes to the idea that our country could live by principles of liberty and justice for all. And nearly all of those 55 men whose signatures are on our U.S. Constitution paid dearly with their lives and their fortunes for what they believed. But the sad truth is, none of those men would even recognize America today for what we've become. I want to give you my theme this morning. Like a loving parent that would gently wake their child, I believe that God is shaking the world in an attempt to wake us up before that final shaking of the world comes. You know, our greatest threat as a nation is not terrorism. Our greatest threat as a nation is not political division that we have. Our greatest threat is not economic. Our greatest threat is spiritual. not turning back to God. God is the one that made this nation great. You know, you think about it, God is our protector and defender. He is our refuge. You know, the Bible very clearly tells us in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Psalm 33 tells us that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's when we turn our backs on God that we, as a nation, are doomed. May God help us to turn our back to our spiritual, or turn us back to our spiritual roots and remember what made America great. It's not some new president that's going to make America great. I'm telling you that right now. I'm not taking a political side on either side of the issue right now. I am not doing that because I cannot do that from this pulpit. I will not do that. But what I'm saying is a man, no matter, or a woman, will not make America great. It is God that will make America great. And it's only when our people turn back to Him and to His principles. I want to look this morning first at the Shaker. The Shaker. Who is shaking the world today? Is it the elite, powerful, rich people in our world today? Is it these people in these movements that are trying to stir up violence in our country, stir up hatred? Or is it those people that are the shakers, the movers of our country? Well, I believe in this text that we can conclude that it is God that shakes. He permits it. I'm not saying God is not the author of evil. God never initiates evil. But what I'm saying is that God is the one that allows it all. God is the one that allows these events that shake us to the core. And just like in our text, He's speaking in verse 25. He's telling us not to refuse Him that speaketh. He's speaking about God. Don't refuse Him. God is speaking today. Don't refuse Him. And then He gives us an example. He said, for if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn from Him that speaketh from heaven. Now, who's He talking about, Him that spake on earth? Well, He's talking about Moses. You know, because you go to Exodus, this passage is talking about Exodus chapter 19. When Moses led the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, And there in verse 19, the Bible says that mount, when God came down on the mount, the mountain shook. It smoked. There was thundering and there was lightning, and God spoke with a voice and to His people, and He gave His law. And you know the result of that, we go to chapter 20, verse 18. The children of Israel, they came to Moses and Moses, we want you to speak to us. You go up to God and you come down and speak to us. We don't want God to speak to us no more lest we die. I mean, they were so fearful of God. They had such a holy reverence of God. And they were so fearful of the sight that what they saw. They were shook to the core by this event. And they said, we don't want God speaking no more. We want you to speak to us, Moses. And so Moses did from that point forward. He would go up to the mount and then he would come down and speak to God's people. And it says here, if they refused him, and let's turn just to chapter 10 for a moment. Turn in Hebrews chapter 10, just for example. In verse 28, it says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment? Suppose he be thought worthy who had trodden under foot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So he's talking about how back then if they despised Moses' law, they were judged. They received punishment. And it said if they received punishment, if they didn't escape when he that was on earth spoke, how much more if we don't listen to Him that speaks from heaven? See, He's talking about God. God is speaking. God is speaking today. You know, God speaks today through His Word. God speaks today through circumstances. He speaks today through these shakings, so to speak. The God of Israel who spoke to Israel and shook that mountain is the same God that's shaking the world today. I want you to look at what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Turn over in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Jesus was talking about the end times and times in which we're living right now. And he tells us about some shakings that are going to take place in our world. Look in verse 6. Matthew 24, verse 6. These are the words of Jesus. He said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." I want you to notice what Jesus said. All these things, these are shakings, if you would. And you know, we see these things happening. We see earthquakes. I mean, just last week, some of my friends in Oklahoma, they were talking on Facebook about the earthquake that woke them up. You know, there was an earthquake that was felt all the way to Dallas-Fort Worth, all the way to Arkansas, and up in Kansas, different places. And we're seeing all these shakings take place today in America, around the world. Jesus said, but the end is not yet. These are just the beginning of sorrows. What he's saying is that God's going to do some shakings leading up to the final shaking. Look in Matthew chapter 24. Look in verse 29. As you get further down the passage, he talks about that final shaking. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." You know, we see here Jesus talks about there's going to be some shakings in the world going on leading up to that final shaking. God shakes us. Why? He is the shaker. Why does He shake this world? He wants us to see He's in charge. He wants us to see He rules and reigns. He wants to awaken us to our need to repent and believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what He wants us to see. Let's take a look at the shaking now. We looked at the shaker. Now let's look at the shaking. You know, you go back to Hebrews 12 and you see that the first shaking he talks about in verse 26 was past tense. He says, "Whose voice then shook the earth." That's past tense. See, at that time in history back there in the past, when he spoke, it shook the earth. But then he says, "But now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." He's talking about that final future shaking of not just the earth, but heaven and earth. And you know, that heaven he's talking about here is not the third heaven where God dwells. He's talking about the heaven that we can see in the expanse above us, where the stars and the moon and the sun reside. As we read in the passage that Jesus predicted, he said, after the tribulation of those days, what did he say is going to happen? The sun's going to be darkened. The moon's going to be turned to blood. And guess what? Stars out of heaven are going to fall. The whole heavens around us are going to be shaken. The earth's going to be shaken. In that final shaking, you know, as that event draws near and near, we're going to see more and more shakings in this world. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." You know, I don't know about you, but I think we're there in those perilous times. You look around, it's a dangerous time we're living in. We're living in these perilous times, and God is allowing these shakings to take place around the world because He wants us to listen to what He has to say. you know, this is going to be a final shaking that's coming. He says, yet once more. It's going to be the final shaking. Just once more. When that time comes, I want you to look at a couple of prophecies in the Old Testament. Look in Isaiah chapter 2. You know, the prophets, they foretold about this shaking that Jesus also talked about and the writer to Hebrews talked about. But look in Isaiah 2 and verse 19. It says, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. There's going to come a day. God's day. It's called the day of the Lord in Scripture. Isaiah 13, verse 13. Look at that one. Isaiah 13, verse 13. He says, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of His fierce anger. You know, that's the day that's coming. God wants us to know about that day. He wants to prepare us for that day. Aren't you glad that He gives us warning? I mean, think about those people at 9/11, 15 years ago, that went to work that morning. They had no idea. They had no idea. I remember reading a story, and I tried to search and search and search for it last week, and I could not find it. The files are no longer on their website. But the Baptist Bible Tribune, right after 9/11 took place, I remember they had a story about this family that lived in that around New York City, and they just moved out into the suburb area. They just got a new house. The wife was a believer. She knew Jesus Christ, and she served Jesus Christ. She took their kids to church, but the husband was not. And the husband was, he worked in one of the Twin Towers. But he made a promise to his wife. He said, honey, after we get settled in our house, and I'm going to start going to church. But if my memory serves me correctly, it was too late. They went to work that morning, never came home. Very sad. Very sad to think about. You know, God spoke, gave opportunity that there was going to be a day of judgment, but He was not ready. You know, this shaking is going to be universal because it's not only going to be an earth, but He says heaven also. God's going to shake the heavens. It's going to be a glorious shaking because notice what He says, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And He talks about a kingdom that cannot be moved. You know, those of us that built our lives upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, we have a foundation that can't be shaken. You know, one day when this final shaking comes, guess what? If you are built upon the rock of ages, Jesus Christ, these storms that come in the future when the heaven and earth can be shaken, you're going to stand. You know, I like the story Jesus told in His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 or chapter 7, I'm sorry. The end of His sermon, He preached about the wise man and the foolish man. And He said that the man that hears my word and does not obey my word is like the foolish man that built his house on the sand. The rains came, the floods came, destroyed the house. But He said the man that hears my word and does it, obeys it, is like the man that built his house on the rock. When the rains came, the floods came, the house stood. The question is, what have you built your life on? You know, the Scriptures tell us here that there are these shakings that are taking place in the world. I mean, we don't know what's going to come today. I mean, there could be attack today upon our country. We don't know, but there could be. What are you going to do when your world is shaken to the core? Listen, The only thing we can do is be built on the right foundation. Make sure that we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Make sure that He is our cornerstone. I want you to look in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. I love this verse. He tells us here, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." You know, the foundation of God, He says, stand sure. It endures. It's going to endure the storms. It's going to endure these shakings. It's going to stand to the end. And He tells us, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Are you His? Do you belong to Him? You know, that brings me to this last point, the shaken. Let's look at the shaken. Who are the shaken in our text? You know, I believe that these shakings that we see, they shake all of us. I'll never forget when 9/11 took place. Even though I was a born-again child of God, it shook me to the core. I thought, wow, in America, how could this happen in our country? I want to tell you a true story about what took place that morning. Because I went back in my notes, because I was a pastor in Dalhart at that time, and I went back to some of my notes that I preached the day after on Wednesday night, that I preached to the church the day after 9/11. I mean, you know, people were... I mean, after something like that happens, you don't know what to say. But they looked to a pastor. Pastor, you got to tell us what to do. Pastor, what's going on? And I was looking at my notes, and on 9/11, or on Monday night, they had a preachers or a fellowship meeting at Central Baptist in Amarillo, Texas. We took a group from the church. We went over there that night, and Pastor Clyde Gilman preached a message that night. And then the next morning, we had a preachers fellowship. And that's when an attack took place while we were in this meeting. And we were informed what was going on, and we all came to the altar. We all prayed. But what amazed me when I went back and looked at my sermon I preached on that Wednesday night was I shared with the church. I said, some of you had the privilege of going to the meeting on Monday night and hearing Pastor Clyde Gilman preach. And here is the title of his message: A Small Window of Opportunity. I'm not making this up. I looked at my notes and I was like, whoa. I started having chill bumps because I had forgotten about that. He preached out of Ezra chapter 9 verse 8, where it says, "And now for a little space, grace had been showed from the Lord our God." That's what he preached on that night. He preached, for a little space, God has given us an opportunity to get saved, to serve Him. And you know what? The next morning, bam, 9/11. Wow. I want you to stop and think about it. He says here, "Refuse not Him that spoke." We have a small window of opportunity. We don't know when our time might come. We don't know when the Lord might call us home. We don't know when that final shaking is going to be. No man knows the day or the hour, the Bible tells us. I can't tell you when it's coming. All I can say is be ready. Just like our first responders, they have to be ready. Every moment, every day, they have to be ready. For a call, they have to go. They have to be prepared to answer that call, to respond to that emergency. But what about us as people? How are we going to respond to that final shaking that takes place when Jesus comes? You better be prepared. You know, I want to share one more story about a lady. I read this story. It was on the Christian Post, September 10, 2011. This lady named Janelle Guzman McMillan, she was the last World Trade Center survivor, the last one they found pulled out of the rubble. And remember, there were only six that survived out of there. She laid buried in that rubble for 27 hours. In the darkness, all alone, she said she could hear screams around her. And after the screams began to quieten and stop, it was just her and God. And I want to tell you, this lady, Janelle, was raised in a Christian home, but she rejected Jesus Christ. She refused to live for Him. At that time in her life, she was happy with her job. She had a boyfriend. She lived the wild life. Parties, drinking, having a good time, doing whatever she wanted to do. She was happy with it. But that moment in darkness, she was faced with death. And she cried out to God. She repented. She said, "God, I've turned my back on You. God, save me. Save me from my sin. Deliver me, Lord." And you know, not only did God save her soul, but God saved her life. She was rescued out of that rubble. She went through 6 weeks, been in the hospital through 4 surgeries. And after she got out of the hospital, one of the first things that she did was get baptized. Follow the Lord in baptism. And actually, she did that on the very day she got married to her boyfriend. And she is now today a member of the Brooklyn Tabernacle there in New York City, serving the Lord with her husband. Now I have 4 children. Isn't that amazing? To think about this story. You know, it took a shaking to awaken her to listen to God. And you may think, man, how could God allow her to go through something so tragic? How could God allow something so horrible to happen to our country and so many lives died from it? I don't have the answer. I really don't. But I do say this, that God used it to reach her heart. And you know, she's now saved from a far, far greater shaking. That shaking on 9/11, yes, it was horrific. It was tragic. It was life-shaking event. But this that's coming is going to be far greater. Because it's not just going to be a building or 2 buildings that's going to shake. It's not just going to be those 7 buildings that collapse in New York City. Listen, it's going to be the whole earth that's going to be moved off of its course. It's going to be the whole earth shook. It's going to be all the heavens, the stars are going to fall out of the sky. The whole heavens and earth is going to shake. And people, the Bible tells us in Revelation 6, when that takes place, people are going to be crawling in the holes of the earth, in the rocks, in the caves, and hiding from fear of God and His wrath. But you know what? You don't have to fear His wrath if you run to Jesus Christ. Just run to Christ. He is the Savior, the Deliverer, the Redeemer. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that suffered the greatest tragedy in human history. He came as the Son of God, the perfect Son of God. He lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law. He was nailed to that cross and died for the sins of the world. He died in your place. He suffered the greatest tragedy. But you know what? He rose from the grave the 3rd day victorious. He's alive. He's a Savior that is coming back as King of kings and Lord of lords. And He's able to save to the uttermost them that would come to God through Him. What about you this morning? You know, we see here that our God is a consuming fire. God is going to judge our nation for our sin. We killed more babies through abortion than you can even imagine. We have turned from God's law. We have broken His law. We have broken the heart of God. Listen, God is going to judge America because He's judged every other country that's done the same. History repeats itself. You look back in history, you see, we're not anything special. God judged even His chosen nation, Israel. And He talks here about them. If they didn't escape, when they refused to listen, how much more, He says, shall we escape from Him that speaks from heaven? How are you going to escape? The only way, flee to Christ. Take refuge in Jesus. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And Christian, I want to just give you a short message and I'm going to close. He tells us, wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let's serve Him. We've got a small window of opportunity to serve Him. You know what all these shakings are about? It's about a harvest. There's a harvest of souls waiting for us to reap them by going out and sharing the gospel. You know, one of the shaking passages in Isaiah, he talks about how he's going to shake the earth. He said, just as an olive tree is shaking. Why did they shake olive trees? Because they would harvest the fruit. When they would become ripe, they would shake the trees. The fruit would fall and they'd gather the fruit. So all these shakings, what do they point to? They point to a harvest. There's a harvest waiting to hear about Jesus. We must serve God acceptably and with godly fear. Our God is a consuming fire. We should have compassion on lost souls. You know, it's a sobering thing. Think about the small window of opportunity that we have. I hope and pray, as we've looked at how God, when God shakes the world, that you understand now why He shakes the world. It's because He loves you. He loves you. He wants you to hear Him. He wants you to obey Him. I want you to stand with me as we join together in prayer. At the conclusion of our service, we're going to be praying for God to have His way and His will in our lives. And as Curtis comes to play Song of Invitation, our Father, we thank You that You're a God of mercy, that You're a God of grace, that as we read in our scripture passage earlier about prayer, how that You would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, we're thankful that You are indeed the first responder, because You're the one that responded to our emergency. Lord, when we, being lost in sin and on our way to a devil's hell, You were the first to respond in compassion. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay, to sacrifice, to give His life for us, that we might be free, that we might be saved. Oh, Father, we thank You. We adore You. We praise You for being that first responder, for loving us that much. Father, we thank You for these shakings that You bring in our life to awaken us out of our sleep, to awaken us to our need of salvation, to awaken us to our need of service. God, I pray that You would use this message to accomplish Your will in our lives. I pray for those here that do not know Jesus as Savior, that today they would flee to Him, that they would come to Him and trust Him, they would cry out to Him for salvation. And Father, I pray for those of us that are saved that we would recognize our responsibility, that we need to serve You, the unshakable God. Lord, I wonder how many of us are serving shakable things. Things that are going to perish. Things that are not going to endure the test of time. God, may we dedicate ourselves to worshiping and serving the unshakable God. To build our life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer. And I pray in Jesus' name. God's spoken to you this morning with every...